Welcome to the Morning Upgrade Podcast with Ryan Cote, where we feature casual conversations with entrepreneurs about personal development and growth.
Hey, Allison, welcome to the Morning Upgrade Podcast. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I've enjoyed talking to you these last 10 minutes. Now we're actually being recorded. Let's do something good for my audience of Morning Upgraders. And let's start by you telling everyone, you know, who you are, what you do for a living, and then something you're grateful for right now.
Awesome. Happy to share. Yeah, my name is Dr. Allie Page, and I practice a form of medicine called functional medicine. And I just started my own private practice. I'm located in Acton, Mass, and I do virtual visits as well. And functional medicine is where we look at the root cause of disease. So we try and look for really the center of the issue instead of prescribing something to fix a symptom. So yeah, so we look at gut health, we look at reproductive hormones, we do a lot of work with nutrition and healing with our food choices, and a lot of work on metabolism and really just healthy living mindset. And I am incredibly grateful for my children. I would say that my family. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially after Thanksgiving as we record this, you know, a lot of family time during those times.
Exactly.
So do you get a lot of questions? I'm just curious. Do you get a lot of questions from your family? From your friends, since you're the health expert, do you get a lot of questions from them?
I do. And I'm happy to help. I noticed that a lot of people struggle with their gut health, especially like a lot of people have gut issues and digestive issues, and they may just kind of normalize being uncomfortable. And so it might not come up when they visit their primary care, or they might get some kind of vague diagnosis like irritable bowel and not really be given anything that really fixes it. And so, yeah, so because there are a lot of people that slip through the cracks, my friends are among them, and I'll get a text like, okay, what's going on? I've got this, you know, and we have a lot of yucky discussions as well about yucky things, but I'm used to it. It's not really yucky. We just have to get into all the processes, all the, you know, what goes in, what goes out. But I'm happy to help. And, you know, the gut biome is really the center of our health.
So I want to hear about your morning routine, but I like to talk about tips on the show. And, you know, it's usually personal development related, which I consider health to be that. And so to be under that umbrella. And so we're not a medical show. We're not prescribing anything here. But based on your experience in terms of gut health, is there any tips you can share that are pretty universal for everyone listening?
Yeah. So one of the most important things in our gut health, and by the way, our gut health is not only limited to like, you know, good digestion and gut elimination, but it's also the center of our well-being. Serotonin receptors, that feel-good hormone, is linked to our gut. And so when our gut isn't functioning properly, it's hard to really feel good. There's a really strong link between migraines and stress and handling stress and all that cortisol, that stress hormone can build up. And so when our gut is functioning well and it's working well, it's easier to feel good. Really, at a basic biochemical level, we have good serotonin firing. So yeah, so I guess a number one tip would be, I would say, and this is going to sound like so, I don't know, so bland, but it's really eating a lot of good fiber. It's what we call prebiotics. And prebiotics, I know we all know about probiotics because we all, you know, I'm sure have had engagement with probiotic companies, or we take Acidophilus bifidus, or we want to put good bacteria into our gut or inoculate our gut. But actually what's more important than doing that is eating good prebiotics, which is fiber, and it's feeding our gut buddies. I call them gut buddies, which is the good bacteria in our gut. You got to feed them. That's like a pet. Focusing on a really good, healthy routine in terms of what we eat, and really plant product is what feeds that good bacteria. And that good bacteria takes care of our gut. It's really central.
For the fiber, you're recommending like salads and greens and that type of stuff?
Yeah. So it's a lot of insoluble fiber from plants, really fruits and vegetables. You could also do what we call ancient grains, and ancient grains are whole grains. And we call them ancient because they're not processed. So an example of an ancient grain would be quinoa or kamut or amaranth, or you can Google them because there's so many different types of ancient grains, but really focusing on the whole food, the whole product, instead of the processed food. So when we process a grain, we get flour. And then from flour, we make bread, cereal, pasta, things like that. pastries and whatnot, but actually what's central to feeding those good gut buddies is having the whole grain when you have the husk. And that's what the gut buddies really feed on.
There's a diner about 5 minutes from my house, and I've become like scarily obsessed with this salad that they have. So I'll bring my laptop and spend a couple hours there doing work, and I get this salad, and it's quinoa, spinach, feta, pumpkin seeds, beets, cranberries, and grilled chicken. I think I got it all. Yeah, and grilled chicken. Oh, and sweet potatoes too. And man, oh man.
That sounds delicious.
Whew, I'm telling you. My mouth's watering just talking about it.
Yes, that sounds really good. I mean, you know, people will ask me all the time, they're like, are you against meat? Are you for meat? To me, it's not an either or. It's really all about the proportion. You know, for people that choose to have meat in their diet or animal products, that's fine. It should only be a certain percentage. I call it like a side dish. So if you go out and you get a cut of meat or chicken or pork or whatever you choose to have, it really should be the size of no bigger than the palm of your hand, kind of a side dish. And what that does is that allows space in your stomach for all the other stuff that we need, micronutrients and macronutrients and the fiber from the fruits and vegetables. So it's all about balance.
120 something episodes. We haven't talked about gut health. So this is a first. I'm glad we're opening with this. Let's go to your mornings. How do you start your day?
So the mornings are like sacred to me as a mother because it's the quietest time. And so I'll get up and it's really quiet. And so I'll make like a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. And really, we were just talking about this earlier, you and I, about kind of glorifying busy. And I think that as a culture, we do glorify it. We tend to think that we're not doing anything if we're just sitting and being and looking and resting. And so really, that's really, really important time for me. I'm in a profession where people constantly, they need something. They need advice on something, or they need a prescription refill. I have children that need me, and that's okay. That's what I've chosen. It's my path. But this is time that I can just sit where I can look. I have ducks. I can look out the window and I look at my ducks, and I really enjoy not being busy.
Are they your ducks or there's ducks that are on your property?
No, they're my ducks.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, they're so cute.
So you're saying your morning routine is like solitude, just spending time watching the ducks and just hanging out by yourself?
Yeah, it's like being unbusy. It's like the only time carved out where I can just be and think through things and finish thoughts. I think sometimes we're so busy and we use, you know, our glowing rectangles a lot, where we get a lot of data and blue light, and we just get an influx of data constantly, where it's difficult for us to finish our own thoughts that originate from our mind and our spirit. And so I take a break from that and just have my own thoughts and finish a thought. I finish it to completion. And I really value that, because then I know that once 7:45 hits, it's going to be a hustle. And that's, you know, that's just the way it goes. So
yeah, I try to think about what am I going to do when my kids are all out of the house and don't really need me every day. There's just going to be a huge hole to fill. And so got time to figure it out, but it's coming.
Yeah, it is. It's around the bend, right?
And that's why you mentioned the solitude. That's why, you know, do you meditate?
I do. I'm not really all that formal with it, but my meditation is really just kind of sitting in silence and either observing my thoughts or finishing my thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like meditation means many, many things. It sounds like what you do in the morning is sort of a form of meditation. But where I was going with that is I've become really hooked with this. I used to use Insight Timer, and I always like to try different things. And now I'm using the Calm app, and it's a paid service. I think I paid $40 for the year. They have this, it's really easy because they have like this daily 10-minute guided meditation. So I know I don't have to think. I just open up the app, 10 minutes, I'm going to be done. And what I like about it is it's guided in the sense that they weave some sort of life lesson into the meditation, like perfectionism, not trying to be perfect, or and like things like that, you know? And so it's kind of like two-pronged. You're getting the meditation and you're getting some sort of life lesson. I found that like that solitude, that silence, it's very rejuvenating is the word I was trying to think of.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, I have heard of Calm, and it sounds, you know, I feel like life has this sort of entropy, and I don't think our culture naturally is prone to being spiritual. I think that we're just not, you know, when we look at cultures like India or Thailand or other countries that where spirituality is really interwoven a little bit more into the day-to-day routine, I don't think ours is. And so I think taking time out to really weave in spiritual concepts, even if it's just for 15 minutes, can have a really, really good effect.
Well, since you mentioned that, let's go to the topic of meaning of life. Through Allie's lens and all the experiences you've had up to this point, what do you consider to be the meaning of life?
I don't really know what the meaning of life is, but I do feel strongly that if we come, I do believe in reincarnation, and I do think that if we incarnate into this lifetime onto Earth, that we're here for a reason and that everyone has a divine purpose and a soul contract. It's really, and to know what that is our passion. I think that Joseph Campbell has been a real, you know, he's a philosopher and he's done a lot of interviews with Bill Moyers. He was a professor of mythology. And he would say, you follow your bliss. And if you follow your bliss and you follow your passion, that is your meaning. And so when we follow that, we give back to the world naturally in what we're supposed to be doing here.
You consider functional medicine, that's your reason, that's your meaning of life, that's your passion?
Absolutely. Yeah. Medicine is. My father's a physician and I kind of grew up in his practice. From the time I was 3 years old, he would take me to the hospital on rounds with him, which I don't think we can do anymore. We have like HIPAA and all these different things. But back then, I was 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, literally. And he'd do his rounds in the hospital and I'd go in and make the, you know, I would just say, I was like this little girl dressed in a little Sunday dress and I would make the patient smile. And then as I got older, he would explain, you know, more about medicine. He was a hematologist, so he specialized in blood disorders. And he would take me to the lab and show me smears of different red blood cells and why they were diseased and what he does to heal them. And I don't know if it was nature or nurture, but it really is in my blood, I think, to be doing this. It is my passion. And when I discovered functional medicine, it just came together. It made sense. I felt that over the past 20 years, really, medicine has evolved to be a little bit too corporate, and functional medicine pulls it back to be about the patient. What really is the root cause here? What if someone has it, for instance, we were talking about digestion, a digestive issue, do we just give them an antacid and send them on their way? Or do we figure out why? What's the imbalance that's causing this? Is it dietary? Is it bacterial? Is it, you know, and not stopping there. And so, yeah, it absolutely is my passion.
To go back to something you said about the meaning of life, I heard a stat, I don't remember where I heard it from, and I don't even know how they come up with this number, this mathematic equation or whatever it is, but they said like your chances of being alive is like 1 in 400 trillion. And so I don't know if you've heard that too, but I've heard that twice now. So that must be, there must be a source where they got that from. But like you think about it from that point of view, like, yeah, there's a reason why we're here. And so it's just like the chances of us, especially the chances of me and you having this conversation right now, like chances of you being born and me being born and having this conversation, it's like really crazy when you start to wrap your head around it. And so that's why I asked this question about the meaning of life, because I just try to, like, I'm always thinking about it because I'm like, why are we here? Like the chance of us being here in the first place is so astronomical. And so like, why are we here and what can we do about it?
Absolutely. So. You know that, you know, when I was a floor nurse before I got my doctorate, I got my master's and then my doctorate. I held a lot of hands as patients were crossing over as they were dying. And I noticed that those patients that had peaceful crossings, had peaceful transitions, really felt that they added in a meaningful way to other people's lives. So they had meaningful engagement with people throughout their life. And the people that really struggled towards the end regretted the lack of meaning. They wished that they had more meaningful interactions. No one has ever told me, I wish I had made more money. I wish I had a bigger house, you know? And it's like, that up. It's about the love that we share. It's about what we give, really. And the meaningful interactions that are kind, that give us meaning. I always took that with me from floor nursing. So I think it really has something to do with having meaningful connections with people, whether they be brief or whether they're long-term meaningful connections, like with a spouse or with our children or with our family or good friends. They can be short and they can be brief, and it could just be an interaction that says, you know, I acknowledge you and I respect you, and you have a reason to be here. And so do I, in finding that, you know, finding joy in that short interaction. So yeah. I think it has something to do with that.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. I always feel my best when I've have had a night out with friends, a fun night out with friends and family, and just fills my cup. So yeah, I'm right with you on that. Definitely. Yeah. I've got one last question for you, Ali. I told you this time would fly. I've got one last question for you. Then we're going to wrap up with you telling everyone how they can connect with you. So my last question, I want to talk about habits. Just give us a sneak peek into some of your pillar habits that you rely on every day.
So my pillar habits, I would say, well, from a concrete perspective, I try to use a lot of herbs, like fresh herbs in cooking, because the fresh herbs have a lot of volatile oils that are cleansing to the body. So that's just like a concrete kind of more physical habit that I use. And then another habit is really just making sure that I connect. And I do try to connect in a good way with people that I love at least once a day. You know, if I just, it means a lot to me, even if it's just a quick, you know, rubbing my son's back as he falls asleep, or saying a mm-hmm. prayer, or doing something that is a connection point with someone that I love. I try to do that every day.
You made me think of one other question, and then we'll wrap up. I'm just curious. This is just more for my curiosity. What does a functional medicine doctor have for Thanksgiving? Like, what does your Thanksgiving spread of food look like? I'm just super, super curious.
That's so funny. Honestly, I'm totally open to people finding joy in their food. And so I think Thanksgiving is such a beautiful holiday. And so I say, eat whatever you want on Thanksgiving. We have everybody else. But in general, we try to go for the whole stuff, the whole food. And turkey's fine, and vegetables are great. And this, in a perfect world, right, it would be like the whole grains instead of the pasta or things like that. But no, I think that finding joy in your food is so important, and enjoying. And I always tell my patients, I'm like, these are the foods that would be great if you could integrate. But before you do that, only choose foods you genuinely enjoy eating. You have to derive joy from the process.
Perfect, perfect. All right, Ali, this was great. If someone wants to connect with you, where should we send them?
So my website is glowon.health. And also if you Google Dr. Allison Page, I'm 2 L's and a Y, you can find me, but my practice is called Glow On.
Glowon.health. Perfect. Thanks, Ali.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Morning Upgrade Podcast. Please subscribe and review. And don't forget to visit us at morningupgrade.com for more content.